Greenville, South Carolina newspaper was this headline: "Maybe he can take it with him." It was a letter that went to a dead man from the Greenville Social Services. The letter said, and I quote, "Your social benefits will stop effective March 1992 because we received notice that you passed away. May God bless you. P.S. You may reapply if there's a change in your circumstances." I saw a Charlie Brown clip where Lucy and Linus, you like this, Derek, were sitting in front of the television, and Lucy said to Linus, "Go get me a glass of water." And Linus looked surprised and said, "Why should I do anything for you, Lucy? You've never done anything for me." And Lucy said, "Okay, on your 75th birthday, I'll bake you a cake." Well, Linus gets up, heads toward the kitchen, and says to himself, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." Well, it's true, isn't it? And we have something to look forward to, church. All of our hope for the future has its promise in this undeniable, unshakable truth that Jesus rose from the dead. The truth we celebrate today: you can't keep a God-man down. One man understood that. He took a vacation to the Holy Land with his wife and his mother-in-law. And his mother-in-law had been critical of him all through their marriage, ridiculed him. The relationship with this guy and his mother-in-law, never very good. And while there, the mother-in-law fell down some steps and went on to be with the Lord. Well, they went to an undertaker who explained that they could ship the body home, but that would cost over $5,000, or they could have a local burial in the Holy Land for $150. The son-in-law immediately said, "We'll ship her home." And the undertaker said, "Are you sure? That's an awfully big expense when we can do a cheap funeral here for your mother-in-law." The son-in-law said, "Look, over 2,000 years ago, they buried a man here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I ain't taking any chances." Well, today, church, we consider the most celebrated event in history. And it's not just a nice thought, it's historical fact. The Apostle Paul said it this way, put this on the list of Mark's favorite Bible verses. Man, this is a preacher's verse. "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised." Look how redundant he is. "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either." He wants us to get the picture. "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Man, what a powerful section of the Bible. We're celebrating today the cornerstone of Christianity. If this event had not happened, Derek, Charlie, Jimmy, we'd need another line of work. Christianity would be a waste of time. We might as well close up shop and go to the beach when the beaches reopen. And this was not an event done in secret. The whole city of Jerusalem knew about it, and it spread to the whole empire of Rome. It was news. The Jerusalem Bureau of MSNBC or Fox News would have been fighting to cover this event. The evidence includes 15 historical references. 15 after he came back from the dead. Jesus meeting people, talking with people, even having breakfast with people following his resurrection. And if that's not enough proof, on one occasion, he talked to about 500 people after he had risen. Now, before we read the actual account itself, let me outline what Paul said in our scripture. This could have been an Easter message all on its own, but I wanted to pack more in, so I'll give you the quick outline from that section that we just read. Here's the first thought. If Jesus had not risen, then our faith is futile. That's the Apostle Paul's words. If Christ had not been raised, he said in 1 Corinthians 15:7, your faith is futile. Thank the Lord this morning. Our faith is not in fables. Our faith is not in fantasy. It's not in fairy tales. Our faith is established in fact. And in fact, Jesus rose from the dead, and our faith is not futile. Secondly, from that passage, if Jesus had not risen, then our forgiveness is fake. That's the next verse. Paul said, if he hasn't been risen, then you are still in your sins. Years ago, I was sitting with my nephew in church, and he was little at the time, my older brother's boy, and he had an Etch-a-Sketch while Dad was preaching. And on the Etch-a-Sketch, those things are pretty cool, and he made a cross, And then he put the word sin over the cross. And then he elbowed me and said, Uncle Mark, look. And it had sin over the cross. And I'm, well, okay, that's a cool picture. I'm not exactly sure what you're trying to say, dude. But then he goes, watch this, Uncle Mark. And then he shakes it. And of course, the whole thing then disappears. And then he says to me with a big smile on his face, that's the best part, Uncle Mark. You get to keep starting over. Man, what a thought that is. His mercies are new every morning. Forgiveness is the ultimate mulligan, the most incredible do-over you and I will ever have. And check it out. It's without limitation. That's because Jesus rose from the dead. Here's a third thought from that passage. This is not the sermon yet. This is the warm-up. Thought number three. If Jesus had not risen, then our future is fatal. He said, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. When I was a young preacher, I was scared to death of death. I didn't want to talk to people about it. When it happened, I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know what to say. I didn't like doing funerals at the time. I have since changed how I feel about that. I'd much rather do a funeral than a wedding. I've told you that before. But at the time, I didn't know how to bring comfort. I had a buddy at my first church that I got close to, and he had me come to his house to help tell his little girls, Darcy, the news that their mother had just died. He wanted me to be there to help share that news with these three girls, three little blonde girls, so sweet, lived just south of Madison. So I went with him. He told them, Mommy's in heaven, and then he wanted me to tell them about heaven. So I did. And I was getting ready to leave, and I got on my knees, and I said, girls, you will get to see your mommy again. And little four-year-old Margaret tugged on my coat and asked me, are you going to go get my mommy now? Heart-wrenching. But let me tell you something. That situation and the many like it would have taken a totally different tone if Jesus had not risen from the dead. But our future is not fatal because he did rise. So that's what Paul's trying to tell us. If Jesus has not risen, our faith is futile. Go to the beach. Our forgiveness is fake. Give it up. And our future is fatal. No need to try. But the truth is, Jesus did rise from the dead. So let's go back to the actual event itself. If you've been around the church very long, the last few Christmases, I've shown you a Christmas video, Christmas story by kids from the Southland Church that my buddy John Weiss put together. I didn't know they had an Easter one. And the same kids that did the Christmas one did an Easter one, and I knew you'd get a kick out of it. So here's Easter according to kids. Check this out.
After Jesus died, they put Jesus in a tomb and wrapped him with some white paper. They put a big stone around it and placed guards in front of the tomb to let nobody go in.
He was just waiting for the 3 days.
He's probably drinking soda while eating hot Cheetos.
He would probably play games like Candyland and then have a party by himself. 3 days later, there was a big earthquake.
I think we should go away somewhere safe.
He's like, I'm getting out of here.
The earth is shaking. Run for your lives.
And the guards ran off because they got scared.
And then on Sunday, Mary and some of her friends came with some spices. But when they got there, the tomb was empty.
His clothes only was there.
Then an angel came and said,
don't be afraid. Jesus has risen from the dead. Go tell the good news.
Mary and her friends went and told the disciples.
She said, Jesus has risen from the dead.
Guys, Jesus has risen from the dead.
And the disciples didn't believe them.
No, that couldn't happen.
Jesus can't raise from the dead.
I don't believe it until I see it.
But all of a sudden, Jesus was there.
I am Jesus. I am the Son of the Lord God, and I am Jesus, your friend.
And then the disciples said, Jesus, it's you. Yay! Yay! Jesus is alive!
Totes cool.
Jesus, before he left to heaven, he said,
I have done what I have came to done. Do. And then he risen, and he was going up to heaven. His disciples were crowded around him.
The disciples said, holy guacamole.
I can't believe Jesus really flew.
That's awesome.
Now what?
Let's go tell the news.
Let's go tell the news. Well, let's read the actual story. They're right about 60% of the time. Luke 24, 1 through 11, the whole story. Let's read it quickly. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? What a question. He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So the women come running back to from the empty tomb. They see the disciples. They tell them the most incredible news ever shared about Jesus. And the disciples reacted in a way that we can understand. They just could not believe this was true. And that leads to my first thought. For some people, the resurrection is too nonsensical to be true. These disciples concluded that these women were wackadoo. They were just crazy. They could not be telling the truth. They were delirious. They were emotional. And they couldn't be taken seriously. They relegated the resurrection to the realm of make-believe. And that's what people do today. Like it's Peter Pan. Or like it's right up there with Jack and the Beanstalk. Some say it's just Greek mythology. Some say it's a myth. I found a website this week dedicated and devoted to exposing the resurrection as a myth. Why in the world would you work to do something like that? And the lawyer in me wants to expose that ridiculous conclusion by asking some questions. What myth is documented by so many eyewitnesses' accounts? What myth were people willing to die for to perpetuate? What myth has changed the lives of millions of people for the good? What myth helped change the world calendar? What myth would build the church of Jesus Christ? Listen, people are willing to go along with bunnies and eggs and fancy Easter clothes and dinners, and they say, okay, but realize this is just a story. That's the conclusion of many people. You mean to tell me, preacher, you really believe that story about God creating man from the dust of the earth? You bet I do. You really believe that story about Moses leading millions of people through the Red Sea on dry ground? You bet I do. You really believe that story that Jimmy's been telling us on Sunday nights about Jonah being swallowed by a whale and living to tell about it? You bet I do. It was Charlie who I heard this story from first. It's been told many times. The lady, Christian lady who's flying, and she always takes her Bible on the plane to read. And one day she's seated beside an atheist who just starts picking at her. He said, you don't believe all that stuff in there, do you? She said, I do, sir. He said, even that part about a guy being swallowed by a whale? She said, you mean Jonah? Yeah, I believe that. The atheist said, well, how do you suppose he survived in that whale for 3 days? And the lady said, I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'll ask him. And the atheist said, what if Jonah isn't in heaven? And then the lady said, well, then you can ask him. Well, guess what, church? We can ask him, right? We can ask him. I believe every word in the grand old book called the Bible. I do. Daniel wasn't mauled by the lions. Abraham didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. Joseph wore a cool coat of many colors. Peter briefly walked on water because Jesus showed him how to do it. Paul and Silas sang down an earthquake as the clock struck midnight when they were in prison. I believe it. I believe every word in the Bible. I believe it from cover to cover. I'll be honest, I'm even impressed with the maps. I believe it. It's not nonsense to believe Jesus rose from the dead in the face of all this testimony and proof. It's nonsense to conclude he did not. But it's too nonsensical for some people to believe. Secondly, the resurrection is too incredible for some people to believe. We long to understand and grasp things before we commit to them. Man, if you never heard anything from this pulpit, hear this. Appearance is far more than, acceptance is far more important than understanding. Let me say that again. Acceptance, when it comes to the Bible and the things of God, because you'll never understand them, acceptance is far more important than understanding. God's ways and thoughts, according to the Bible, are far above ours. So what's that old phrase our parents and grandparents hammered into us? Do that, Mark. Why? Because I said so. That's why. Acceptance, far more important than understanding. I've always been inquisitive. I've always questioned everything. Drove everybody around me crazy. And the reason I just haven't been able to accept things for what they are is because I want an answer. And sometimes the answer is, you know what, Mark? Because I said so, that's the answer. I've been working on questions that are always in my mind. You wonder why I don't sleep. This is the kind of stuff I wonder about. Why do they have atheists swear on a Bible in court before testifying? That's the kind of stuff that goes through my head. If we evolved from monkeys, as some claim, why do we still have monkeys? I can't figure. Why is lemon juice made with artificial flavor and dishwashing liquid made with real lemons? That's the kind of stuff I think about. Why are there interstate highways in Hawaii? Why can't I cry underwater? Try it sometime. You cannot. Why, if it's called tourist season, can't we shoot them, Rick? Doesn't that make sense? Why do we call people from Poland poles, but not call people from Holland holes? And if I throw a cat out a car window, does it become kitty litter? That's the kind of stuff that I think about. I could do this all day, church. My head is filled with questions. But the one I ask today and every year I think about it this time is, what if the resurrection never happened? It's amazing? Yeah. It's confounding? Yeah. It's a mystery? Yeah. It's miraculous? It's a game changer? It's a hope restorer? It's incredible? You betcha. It's the most incredible thing that ever happened. It's God's amen to what Jesus did on the cross. For some, it's too nonsensical, and for some, it's too incredible. But for others, check this out, it's too frightening to be true. After the ladies come back and told the disciples, they concluded they're crazy. Then Jesus makes an appearance, and look at their response in Luke 24:37. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your mind? They're afraid, they're spooked, and they think Jesus is a ghost. There are many who are frightened at the truth of the implications of the resurrection. Now, give me your attention for a moment, and I'll wrap this up. Here's why we should be frightened. If it's true Jesus raised from the dead, then all the other things Jesus said are equally true, right? Do you get the implications of that? If it's true that he rose from the dead, then everything he said is true. Things like, it would be better to have a millstone tied around your neck than to cause one of these little ones of mine to stumble. Things like, he that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that does not believe will be condemned. Things like, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away, because it would be better for you to be saved without your eye than to go to hell with your whole body intact. Things like, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. Things like, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? If Jesus rose from the dead, that means everything else he said is true. And death can be a frightening proposition, but for some, the resurrection is frightening. It brings judgment into play. It means we don't just fade away in the dirt, but that we'll stand before a holy God. It means there's a heaven and there's a hell, and there are a whole bunch of people who went to their graves denying the resurrection. But don't you know, they're big believers now. It means we will have something to answer for, and we will have someone to answer to. On the outskirts of a small town, there was a big old pecan tree by the cemetery fence. One day, two boys picked up two bucketfuls of nuts and sat down by the tree out of sight and began dividing up the nuts. This is my favorite story. They would say, one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me. Well, another boy riding his bike by the cemetery, just as it was about to get dark, heard the voices. So he slowed down and he could hear inside the cemetery, one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me. Well, he immediately turned his bike around and headed toward town. He saw an old man on a cane, and he said, sir, you need to come cemetery with me. I just heard the Lord and the devil, and they're dividing up souls. Well, the old man said, listen, I can't move very well, and you're crazy anyway. And he said, no, come on with me, sir. You won't believe it. Well, it took him a while, but the old man with the cane finally made it to the cemetery, and the boy said, listen. And they listened against the fence, and they could hear voices, one for me, one for you, one for me, one for you. And the old man said, you're right. He said, you're right. Let's see if we can get a look. So the old man got closer to the fence, and the boy, and they're trying to look and get a good look at the Lord and the devil himself, and they can't get a good look, but they can hear the voices even clearer. They could hear them say, one for me, one more for you. And then the voices said this, now let's go get those two nuts down by the fence, and we'll be done. Well, that old man beat that kid back to town. The resurrection for some people is too frightening to be true, too nonsensical to be true, too incredible to be true. And then we'll close with this. For some, it's too good to be true. Look at how the Bible works here. Luke 24:41. And while they still did not believe it, why? Because of joy and amazement. What's that mean? While they still did not believe it, why? Because of joy and amazement. You know what that means? It's too good to be true. I mean, we're happy about it and we're amazed, but our happiness and our amazement must be because this can't be true. It's just too good to be true. We feel that way lots of times, don't we? Lose 30 pounds of unwanted fat in 2 weeks. Hide those unsightly wrinkles forever. You've been selected as a finalist. This sermon will only last 20 minutes. Are you with me? All things that sound too good to be true. And we grow skeptical of things that sound too good to be true. It's why we have trouble giving food away to people because they think there's an agenda. Sounding too good to be true? The amazing thing about the resurrection is it's too good and it's true. Each year at some point for the past three, I've shared some of Frank Warren's post secrets with you. Last year, I had many of you write some down for me on postcards and give them to me. I haven't shared those, but I have shared some of the funnier ones. And I'll share some of yours before we close here, anonymously, of course. The idea behind the post secrets was Frank Warren printed 3,000 postcards, and on them, he invited anyone to anonymously contribute a secret to a group art project. You could contribute any secret you want as long as it was true and you hadn't shared it with anyone. This is a pretty cool exercise. Some of the funnier ones I've shared with you before, some that don't make sense to me. Here's an example of some that were turned in. Post secret, I think women who don't wear makeup are lazy. That was someone's secret. I mean, if you're going to have a secret, you can do better than that. Here's another one. Post secret, I'm afraid of women who wear capri pants. Post secret, I hate people who include me in group text. Post secret, every time I get my toenails done, I think about kicking the girl doing them in the face. Post secret, I give decaf instead of regular to customers who are rude to me. Post secret, when I'm mad at my husband, I put boogers in his soup. I'd like to thank Malia Johnson for submitting that one to me. Let me share one with you. You tell me if you can tell who in our church wrote this one, all right? Post secret. I don't believe in reincarnation, but I often wonder if it were true, would I be forced to come back as a cat? Yeah, that would be me. Here's some from people in our church. Check this out. I wish I'd told my dad I forgave him before he died. That came from one of your brothers and sisters. This came from one of your brothers and sisters. I will always deal with the guilt from the abortion that nobody knows about. Someone from your church family wrote this. I fight an addiction. No one in my church knows I'm fighting. Someone in your church wrote this. No one would believe how many times I've thought about ending my life. You know what I'm thankful for this Easter Sunday? The resurrection of Jesus gives me the proof I need to feel this way. I'm thankful that God's forgiveness is much greater than our secrets. That's what I'm thankful for. Because we don't keep secrets from God anyway. Now, this may be frightening to some who want to keep secrets from God, but the truth is he knows our secrets and he loves us in spite of them. And when his wounds were still fresh and his body was crying out in pain, what did Jesus say while he was dying? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Add that to what Jeremiah said, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Then God, who made the world, chooses to forget your wrongs, your mistakes, your failures. He cancels your past, not denying it happened, but eliminating it. Grace, by its very definition, is too good to be true. But it's good and it's true. And church, for some, the resurrection is too nonsensical to be true. For some, it's too incredible to be true. For some, it's too frightening to be true. For some, it's too good to be true. This Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate this truth. Jesus is alive. He came to earth as a baby. Herod tried to kill him, but Jesus kept coming. The Pharisees plotted and tried to have him arrested, but Jesus kept coming. Judas betrayed Jesus and gave him up to the soldiers, but Jesus kept coming. They drove nails in his feet and his hands, but Jesus kept coming. A few days later, he walked out of his own grave. Jesus kept coming. And someday, with a loud shout and a trumpet blast, he will come get his church, because Jesus will come again. Let's celebrate, church. Jesus died on a cross, proof that he was a man. But then he rose from the dead, proof that he was God. And I celebrate with you today. You can't keep a God-man down. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to celebrate today. It's a different kind of celebration, but it's the same truth. And I'm so thankful for that truth that gives us hope, that offers us forgiveness, and, Father, that gives us the will to continue on as we serve you, knowing that someday we will be with you in your good heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.